Celebrate people when they don't expect it, when they're not expecting it. I like this one. I find this funny. You may not. Okay. You guys ever see this TV show, Monk? I've only seen one episode of it, but I love this show. I think I'm going to buy like the DVDs or whatever. So there's this episode. It's the only one I've ever seen. And this kind of bad guy tells Monk that he says, when you least expect it, I'm going to get you. And so Monk's like living in fear, you know, because this guy's going to get him. So he's afraid of everything. Well, about halfway through the episode, he kind of forgets about this guy. And all of a sudden, the guy like takes him down in a dark alley. And Monk turns to the guy and says, you're right, I was not expecting it. And I just think that's hilarious. Like, because the best way to reward people is when they're not expecting it. You know, I've kind of given up on Christmas cards. I'm now going to do Thanksgiving cards. Because nobody expects to get a card at Thanksgiving, you know. And so, like, when people don't expect it, the best time to reward people is when they don't expect it. Let me tell you a story and see if this illustrates it. Our worship arts guy, he's really great. He does his own seminars and coaching and all that. So we were doing, he was doing new season orientation for our worship arts team. So he had about 100 new people coming on the team, and they have to orient them. They have to come to this like 2-hour meeting, and they have lunch and get to know people, and he has them sign the covenant and all that. Well, when they signed in, they had to put their name and their email and their update information like you had to when you came today. But he asked them at the bottom of that form, what's your favorite ice cream? Just a random question. What's your favorite ice cream? Could have been, what's your favorite coffee? You know, but in this case, it was summer, so what's your favorite? Or it was, you know, going into summer. So everybody forgot that until about 3 months later. Actually, everybody forgot it. But 3 months later, he just picks a day out of the air, and he pulls the name of everybody who volunteered from that previous Sunday, and he pulls their sign-in sheets from New Season Orientation, and he sends them all a $5 Cold Stone gift card. And he says, Dear Don, thank you for serving with Worship Arts on this Sunday. Have some, you know, double fudge, rocky road, you know, birthday cake mix on us. And he put that card in there. Do you know what people were talking about? Still talking about like 2 years later. First of all, how did he know that I like double fudge, you know, birthday cake, Rocky River ice cream? They forgot that they did it, you know, 3 months later. And then it was unexpected. It wasn't like at the end of the service. It wasn't at the end of the time. It was just that. So we've repeated that over and over. You know, we ask group leaders all this crazy stuff about them. Because just one day, we might want to just send a thank you note when they least expect it. I do this in my calendar. I'll go through on random Mondays in my calendar when we have staff meeting, and I'll just say, okay, for 2 weeks in a row, we're going to thank our volunteers, and then we don't say anything for 3 weeks. Now, I'm not talking about our first-time volunteers. They get thanked every week. But like our ongoing volunteers. And Carrick knows this, and our staff knows this. It's very common for me to walk out on Monday and say, let's get some thank you cards. And so today, we're going to handwrite notes to everybody who served in children's ministry. And we'll just take 5-10 minutes. Everybody writes 3 or 4, and we thank volunteers. And we don't do that every other Monday or every third Monday. It's just randomly. I just, you know, we'll randomly put dates on my calendar at the beginning of the year to say we're going to thank volunteers. And that's just a great thing when they least expect it. When's the best time to buy flowers for your wife? Yeah, anytime's the answer. But when they least expect it. Yeah, it's the behavioral theory. You know, when people aren't expecting it, it celebrates. And then anytime is the answer. Anytime is the answer. Now, we're on the downhill part of the conference here. And so I wanted to do this because I think this is going to help you. This is called How to Thank Volunteers. This is from my mentor, a guy by the name of Steve Stroop, who's the senior pastor at Lake Point Church in Rockwall, Texas. Steve has just influenced me in so many ways. And he has a talk that he gives called How to Thank Volunteers. And I've always wanted to teach this somewhere, and I haven't. And we've teach it in coaching, but I wanted to teach it in a seminar because I wanted you to have it. One way you can thank volunteers is money. You know, everybody loves money. Money goes with everything. It's of equal value to all people. So that's really what those gift cards are. They're just money. I mean, we're giving a $7 Starbucks card or $5 Cold Stone card or whatever. But money is a good way. Now, you know, some people don't want it, but if it's small, you can also pay volunteers, high capacity volunteers, like we talked about. Second one, let me see your notes. It's laid out slightly different. Private praise. Private praise. One of the things that you want to help your team leaders determine over time is how does a person like to be praised? Most people like private praise. I mean, there's nothing like a one-on-one conversation, look them dead set in the eye and say, boy, what you're doing is making a difference for the kingdom. And, you know, thanking them and high-fiving them one-on-one, looking them in the eye, giving them a hug. Private praise is very important. But you got to be careful with the second one, which is public praise. Some people just shudder under public praise. I had an executive assistant like that for a while. I mean, do anything, but don't praise me publicly. I don't want to be acknowledged. You know, private praise means a lot, but public praise you know, just really embarrasses me. So you got to kind of figure out the two. Most people, private praise is great, but there are people who, you know, just public. I mean, they just beam, they just shine. So if you figure that out, that's a way to thank them. Here's some you may not have thought of. Access is one. You give people access to staff. You give them access to the behind-the-scenes stuff that goes on at the Journey. This past week, actually, it goes to another one. Let me go to this one. Input is another one. Getting their input. Who do you think are the first people I went to get input about this new worship series? Yeah, our worship arts team. I showed up at New Season Orientation the other week, and we asked them, what are the big questions you've always had about worship? And so I got a great input, you know, from them. Well, now, every time I address one of those questions during this series, they're going to be like, oh, that was me. You know, I'm the one who told him to address that, you know, worship is more than just music. Now, 50 people did it, but they think it's them, you know. And so they get input in the part of that. If you have a problem that you can't solve and no one else can help, and if you can find them in the LA Underground, you can hire, never mind. You know, guys don't remember the A-Team? Man, the A-Team. You guys need to watch more Nick at Night is what you need to do. Anyway, I don't know how I even got off on that. What was I even saying? Oh, yeah. If you, I pity the fool. That's what I said. At the end of this seminar, I love it when a plan comes together. Okay. Now, where was I? Oh, yeah. If you have a problem in a ministry area and you can't figure it out, get the people who serve in that area to figure it out. We had a space issue in our children's area because we're in rented facilities. Couldn't figure it out. I mean, we sat around, we drew it up on the board, you know, we brought in consultants, you know, we did all this stuff, couldn't figure it out. Invited the volunteers. We said, hey, would you guys be willing to hang over for about 15 minutes and let us get your input on something? We told them what it was. About 5 minutes later, they had the problem solved about 10 times better than we could solve it. I mean, there really is no problem in the kingdom that can't be solved with the right people in the room. So sometimes we as pastors are so afraid to walk in there and say, look, we have no idea what to do. Here's what we want to do. Here's what we think God's calling us to do. Here's where we're at. Here's where we're at. We have no idea how to get from here to there. But you get their input. And you know what? That just increases buy-in. You know, because ownership is very, very important. So input's good. And then here's knowledge. Knowledge is another way to thank volunteers. This is what I was going to say about our worship arts team. The other night, Jason, he always meets with the worship arts team about 10 minutes before they go out on stage, just to give them a little pep talk. We call it the focus time. He prays for them, but he also gives them knowledge that nobody else knows. And he tells them, oh, we got 14 people signed up for baptism. Nobody else knows this. He tells them about something that's going on behind the scenes that nobody else knows. You can do this over and over and over. You know, just give people knowledge of stuff that's going on behind the scenes. Like, boy, we had a staff meeting this past week, and we decided we're going to go ahead and do this. It may not even affect their area, but it's just now they know. They're on the inside of the church. You know, they've got the scoop, and that can be very powerful. It's also a great leadership principle. You kind of seed the leaders with things that are happening so that when they happen, you know, a bunch of people already know about it, and it gets greater buy-in. Significance, that's one of the ways you thank volunteers. The way you do that is that ministry chain. You connect their ministry to eternity. So every position's significant. The guy who rolls the mic cords on Sunday is significant because we wouldn't have sound without it. If we didn't have a sound, they couldn't hear. They couldn't worship. They couldn't, you know, hear the scripture. So everything's important. So you tie it to significance. And then excellence, giving them the tools they need to do their job well. I mean, I'm convinced a lot of people want to work in the media team at our church just because they get to play with all these cool tools. I mean, they're hobbyists. You know, they've got cameras and they've got stuff at home. But on Sunday, man, they've got these big cameras. They got these big soundboards. They got this big stuff. So you give people the tools they need to do the job. A lot of school teachers volunteer in our children's ministry because they think this is the kind of stuff I'd like to have in my school. But I don't get it, you know, but I can get it here. So I give them excellence in order to do the job. Is that helpful? So thanking volunteers. Okay, everybody take a big, deep breath. Turn to your neighbor and say, congratulations, you made it. All right, I'm going to do the survey again. How many of you have at least 5 ideas that you want to go back, think about, and possibly implement in your church? Let me see your hands. Okay, good, good, good. I want to make sure, you know, if the student hasn't learned, the teacher hasn't taught. That's my theory. Now, we're about to wrap up here. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to wrap up the formal part of the seminar. And then if I can, we should have about 5 minutes before we are dismissed. And even though we're going to end the recording with this wrap up, I'm going to take your questions. And then, you know, we may put it on the recording, we may not, but that's where we go. Let me give you the principle of Kanai. The principle of Kanai stands for constant and never-ending improvement. Constant and never-ending improvement. Like you say, I don't know where to start with this. You know, I don't know where to start. Well, just start here. Start with celebrate. Start with celebrating your volunteers. Celebration actually leads to reproduction, which then is going to tie back in to new people getting involved in serving and eventually your ministry ladder. The ministry ladder is a big piece. As you know, I mean, that's a big piece. And so you may not be able to do the ministry ladder yet. We'll just start right here. Look, if you there's two ways to double your ministry system. One is to go back and make 100% improvement. The other is to go back and make a 1% improvement over the next 100 weeks. Either way, you're going to get to 100% improvement. One, you do it in a Sunday. One, you do it in a year and a half, 2 years. But either way, it can happen. But just keep improving it. You know, you say, well, there's certain things I'm unhappy about. Well, just focus on what you can change, you know, and just work that. Say, maybe you don't get to 50% of your people volunteering for an hour. But maybe you go from 10% to 20%. Maybe you go from 3% to 6%. That may be the hardest jump you ever make, you know. The hardest growth points in the life of a church is to go from 60 to 120. You know, once you go to 120, it's easier to go to 200. Once you get to 200, it's easier to go to 1,000. So your issue may be to go from 3 volunteers to 6 volunteers. But that may be the hardest thing. It may take you 2 years, but then the next year you go from, you know, 6 volunteers to 60. So just work on what you can. But the goal is constant and never-ending improvement. So you're always working on it. And that's what the system is about. It gives you something to work on. It gives you some goals to work on. The way you do that, one is you set a date 30 days from now to review these notes. This is not in your notes. This is just me talking. 30 days from now, you review these notes. You take these notes, you go back, you review it with your staff. You take one area of the church and you start creating first serve opportunities. You take one area of your church, you start celebrating. One area of your church, you start building a ministry ladder. You have a discussion about theology. You read some of the books. I mean, I'm telling you, if you pick up some of the stuff in the Appendix A, like Simply Strategic Volunteers or The Volunteer Revolution, or you go to Wayne Cordero's site and get the Fractals Talk, it's going to be worth your time. I mean, I can't tell you how many rewards in heaven you're going to get by reading Launch, Ignite, Fusion, Activate. I mean, there are unnamed rewards that you're going to have. The guys who wrote those are genius, you know. Go subscribe to the newsletter at Church Volunteer Central. Go read the stuff on volunteers inside of Outreach Magazine each week. You know, go look and see what Elmer Towns has for free at his website. Read the stuff in the appendix. I mean, I've got another article in the appendix, in Appendix B, based on a term I use called Where There's Slack, There's Lack. And it's all about the ministry system. And it gives you some ways to measure that. I also give you job descriptions inside of your appendix you might want to look at. I have an article from Church Volunteer Central. I have a sermon that I preached on volunteerism that might be helpful to you. And on down the line it goes. You have some other stuff in there as well. But just keep working on it. You know, little by little, take the long haul approach to this. Ministry's a long haul. And then the goal, of course, is a church with an abundance of volunteers. I mean, that's the goal. Never lacking. You know, just like in the stewardship system, I want you to have a fully resourced church when it comes to money. In the ministry system, I hope you have a fully resourced church when it comes to volunteers. Because when you've got more volunteers than you need, there's always a place to find for those volunteers to serve. You know. Hopefully today's been helpful. Hope you've learned a lot. I want to end with where we began, which is the goal of this system is to create servants. And I told you I spent about 6 weeks teaching on Philippians chapter 2 in a series that we did called Positive Living. And so here's the passage. Follow along, and I'm going to have you read the last part with me. You remember this was originally a hymn. You know that, right? It was an early hymn that Paul took from the culture and put into Philippians 2. So scholars have discovered that. So we're not going to sing it, but I am going to ask you to join in on maybe the doxology of this. So it says, don't be selfish. Don't live to make a good impression on others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Wouldn't it be great to have a church full of people like that? Don't think only about your own affairs, but be interested in others too and what they are doing. Your attitude should be the same that Christ Jesus had. Wow. What was that attitude? Though he was God, he did not demand and cling to his rights as God. He made himself nothing. He took the humble position of a slave and appeared in human form. And in human form, he obediently humbled himself even further by dying a criminal's death on a cross. Now you join in with me with the word because. Here we go. Because of this, God raised him up to the heights of heaven and gave him a name that is above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Thank you for attending today. Let me pray for you, and then we'll chat for just a moment after that. Heavenly Father, thank you for these church leaders. Give us wisdom to know where we need to start and work in our system. But God, before that, we thank you for the volunteers that we have. We thank you for the people who show up week after week, day after day, Sunday after Sunday, faithfully giving of their time, their talent, their treasure, and using their testimony for your honor and for your glory. So God, bless the volunteers that we have. And then God, make us into equippers that think through what a theology of ministry is all about, that challenge people to get involved in serving for the first time, that then grows them up to maturity in Christ so that they become more of a servant. And then God, help us to be quick to celebrate and quick to have a culture where volunteers are in abundance. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone who agreed said, Amen. Amen.